Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again. It's a Wednesday, live in Sheffield, and it's Deserted Island Discs. This is the show where we find people that were born in Ireland and now live in South Yorkshire. And this week I found a very special man. He's a lovely man, a lovely, smiley, happy face. It's Tommy Tierney. Hello, Tommy. How are you doing?
Hello, fine. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, happy to be here and happy to have you on the show because I've met him a few times, Tommy. I don't know you that well, but every time I spoke to you, you've just been regaling me with stories of life in Ireland and life in Sheffield. So I'm looking forward to the show. No pressure, though.
No pressure.
So, you're born in Tuam, County Galway, 1955.
Yeah, I was born in Tuam, County Galway, and I lived in a place called Blindwell near Kilconnelly. And we lived in a thatched house. We didn't have any electricity. We had candles and globes on the wall for lighting at night.
Yes.
With no television.
Yeah. Very basic.
Very basic thing back in the day, yeah.
But I suppose you didn't know anything else, did you? That was just life.
Well, that was life. Everybody was in the same boat back then.
Yeah, so you just think that's just life.
Yeah, there was no tractors or cars or anything like that.
So I was saying that Tommy's like, I mean, you're always, for me, you're always happy and laughing and, you know, we have a good crack with you. But really, we start off with a bit of a sad tale, really, of kind of Tuam. Is a place, quite a big town in Galway, and you were born at Tuam Hospital, and it's just been recently in the news, hasn't it?
That hospital I was born in Tuam, back in the day, between the 20s and the 60s, there was a lot of babies sold. Mothers that weren't married, the babies were taken off them and sold to rich families in America and Australia.
Yeah.
And them that weren't, there was a lot of them buried in sewers and graves in the back of the hospital.
Yeah.
And there's an ongoing dig started last week, and it's going to take 3 years to uncover all the bodies.
Yeah.
So I was lucky that my mother was married, or I could be one of them statistics. I could be in America, or I could be in a sewer in the back of the hospital.
I know. It's a part of Irish history that's really shameful, isn't it?
No, it is. All it was the nuns and the priests and the local guard. Everybody were involved in it.
Yeah. And it's, well, I mean, I've Googled it since because you were telling me, and it's probably, I mean, it's not really made the news here over in England much, has it? But it's big news in Ireland.
Oh, it's big news, yeah. It's going to be a three-year excavation over there now.
Yeah. So what the saying basically is that there's around about, well, at least 800 babies that didn't get a proper burial, at least. We don't know what happened to them. People are saying it's kind of, you know, not looked after, malnutrition, and because they were from single parents that, basically, they were just thrown down the sewers and not having a proper burial.
That's what happened, yeah. So I'm just thankful that I wasn't one of them.
No, I know. So anyway, we will have laughs and cheeriness throughout the next hour, but I think it's important to say where you came from, and that's a big part of put that where it's at. So, but anyway, so you were on the farm, and you were the oldest of 10, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. And we had a small farm, and there was a sugar beet factory in Tuam, and everybody used to grow sugar beet. That was one of the main things then.
Yeah.
And we grew all our own crops. We used to milk cows and make our own butter every Saturday night.
Wow, yeah.
And then my mother used to do all the baking. There was no shops to go to buy bread or anything. She used to bake and get 4 stone bags of flour, and when that was used up, you'd wash the bag and you'd fill it with feathers to make a pillow.
Okay, yeah, so yeah.
That was the norm back then.
Yeah, upcycling they'd call it now.
Upcycling, or recycling.
Yeah. Well, it's needs must, wasn't it? And you're ingenious in making things work, for making uses out of stuff that you're saying about stuff. So we'll play part of the show is that we pick songs and go through songs that remind you of time. What we've said with Tommy is just chatting to him, really. I don't think we're going to get all your life done in an hour. So what we're going to do is focus on part one about Tommy's life in Ireland. And we'll touch a little bit on Sheffield, I think, but mostly it's going to be about Ireland, and then part two will be about your time in Sheffield. So, yeah, we've got some songs to take us through your time in Ireland. And your first song you picked is Skibbereen.
Skibbereen, yeah.
Could you tell us why you picked that?
I picked that because that was the only song I ever heard my dad singing. He always used to sing that song.
Yeah.
So that reminds me of him when I hear that song.
Okay, let's have a go. We've got the Dubliners version of Skibbereen.
Oh, father dear, and I often hear you speak of Erin's Isle. Her lofty scenes, her valleys green, her mountains rude and wild. They say it is a lovely land wherein a prince might dwell. Then why did you abandon it? Oh, the reason to me tell. My son, I loved my native land with energy and pride, till a blight came over all my crops and my sheep and cattle died. The rents and taxes were to pay, and I could not them redeem. And that's the cruel reason I left old Skibbereen. 'Tis well I do remember the bleak November day, when the bailiff and the landlord came to drive us all away. They set their roof on fire with their cursed English spleen, and that's another reason I left old Skibbereen. Oh, your mother, to God rest her soul, lay on the snowy ground. She fainted in her anguishing, seeing the desolation round. She never rose, but passed away from life to immortal dreams. And that's another reason I left old Skibbereen. Oh, you were only 2 years old, and feeble was your frame. I could not leave you with my friends, for you bore your father's name. I wrapped you in my coat the more, at the dead of the night unseen. And I heaved a sigh, and I said goodbye to dear old Skibbereen. Oh, well, father dear, and the day will come when on vengeance we will call, and Irish men, both stout and tall, will rally unto the call. I'll be the man to lead the van beneath the flag of green, and loud and high we'll raise the cry, revenge for Skibbereen.
Skibbereen there, that's the Dubliners, Ronnie Dhu, what a voice he's got, eh? And my guest here, Tommy, was singing along to that one, wasn't he? Quietly there. Yeah. So he tells me he will sing a song, not tonight, though. If he's had a few drinks, he'll join in with the singing. I'd like to, maybe next time.
Next
Tommy.
Time.
So, yeah, you picked that song because it reminded you of your dad, father, who used to sing that once. What kind of man was he?
Oh, he was very hard working. He used to, everything we're doing, ploughing the fields with the horses, and everything we're doing by hand. It was all hard work what he used to do, and he never used to stop from morning till night.
Yeah.
And when he used to drink a couple of pints and that was it, and then he'd always come home with that salty bacon on.
Yeah, so
and sing a few songs.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, I suppose, yeah, with the 10 of you to feed and, busy man. I suppose, but then I suppose what you said is you were working from quite a young age on the farm.
Yeah, we're all working on the farm, yeah, helping out, yeah. there was planting potatoes, all every crop under the sun we used to sow, and then you had to, it was all hard work.
Yeah.
Everything was done by hand.
You had sheep?
With sheep, some cows to milk, and all ducks and geese and all animals like that as well.
Yeah.
And we used to kill a pig every year, once a year, for the bacon.
Yeah.
We used to put it in a, chop it up and put it in a tea chest and pack it with salt.
Yeah.
We used to make all proper black pudding as well.
Yeah. Because there was no fridges back then, was it? There was no electric, so you kind of...
That's what everybody did.
Cure it and just, well, make it last.
And then everybody would take either his head or a leg to the local pub for a game of darts.
Okay.
That was just tradition as well.
For a game of darts?
Yeah. You take a pig's leg or his head. Anyone that killed a pig always took a part of him to the pub for a game of darts.
So you're saying that... Whoever won the game of darts would
got the pig's
would
leg.
Win the
pig's leg. They got a tournament for the head or the leg.
Ah,
whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
You better get good at darts then, don't you? in your town. So yeah. And you were saying you'd make use of all sorts, you say like the bladder
the pig's bladder that was our first football. We used to make a football from that, and we used to make our own black pudding as well.
Yeah.
And it was just one of them things. Everybody did it, not just us. All the families that lived around did the same thing. They were in the same boat.
Exactly. So, again, you'd not seen any different, really.
You didn't know any different. That was just normal back then.
Because your neighbours didn't have electricity.
No,
even.
No.
You're saying, like, even in school or church or might not have had electricity.
I just can't answer that one.
You can't remember, yeah.
Yeah.
But you were an altar boy, weren't you?
Pardon?
You were an altar boy.
I was an altar boy in the church, yeah, in the local church when... The mass was all in Latin back then as well.
And it's it was a long walk to school?
We used to walk 2 miles across fields to school.
Yeah.
No buses, no. It was just normal as well.
And whatever the weather, you still
went? Whatever the weather, yeah. And then it was the same. We had to walk about half a mile to a well with some buckets to get drinking water as well.
It's really? So, yeah, even water was just...
You just don't turn the tap back then. There was no...
Yeah. So, I'd kind of imagine that still now, because I'm, you know, about 20 years younger than you, but still, the thing of going to a well for your water, and so did you have to, like, boil it and stuff, or was it drinkable?
It was drinkable, yeah.
Oh, you could bottle it and make a fortune now,
you could, yeah. Ballygown.
Yeah. So we'll play your next song. So we've gone for the a more modern one. We've gone for the Sword Doctor. Still not from this century, I don't think. But, you know, modern and, compared to what the rest of it. But so the Sword Doctor's N17. They're from Tombs. Some from Tombs is where you was, wasn't it?
Yeah, so. I've seen them quite a few times in Sheffield over the years.
Yeah, so you're a fan as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It fits with... the place you're from, so...
Yeah, and they just sing their own songs. They don't sing anybody else's songs.
They're fantastic writers, aren't they? They wrote loads and loads of great songs, yeah. So, no, I've seen them a few times as well in Sheffield. So I'm at Plug when that was going, and, yeah, I've seen them in Mayo. So my family's from Mayo, mm. So they often play at the Gaelic football for Mayo as well. So and they're still going now.
They are,
getting bigger than ever. It's more and more people go and watch them, don't they? So this is one of... Tracy's favourite songs as well, so we'll play it for my partner Tracy, who's hopefully listening somewhere. The N17 and the Sword Doctor.
Sometimes when I'm reminiscing you in transit. So I sit there and daydream in vain. I'm behind all these muddled up problems of living on a foreign soil. I can still see the twists and turns in the road, from the square to the town and the trains. And I wish I was on that N17.
So the walls and the grasses.
Yes, I wish I was on that N17.
So the walls and the grasses.
Traveling with just my thoughts and dreams. Oh, just traveling with my thoughts and dreams.
I love it. That's a cracker of a song, isn't it? What a brilliant song that one is. Always gets us going. We've been dancing around the studio.
Yeah, drinking a few whiskies.
There's no whiskies in the studio. Tommy, what are you saying? You're getting me right in trouble. We'll do that next time. So, we were talking about your time on the farm and your dad. So you were one of ten and you'd... So you were saying that really you stayed in that part, and you probably see a few stone walls, wouldn't you, around there?
All stone walls.
But then you moved away. When tell us about you moving away.
We moved away in 1964. We moved up to a place called Multifarnham outside Mullingar in County Westmeath to a new farm. It was originally a big stately home place, and they knocked it down and they built seven new houses on it. They made seven new farms on it.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough to get one of them. And my mother's brother got another farm next door.
Yeah.
When they moved people from the west up to the Midlands, they always sent two families that knew each other.
Yeah, so you've got a little start of a community.
So you've got a start, yeah. And Multifarnham, where we moved to, it was a lovely place. There's a Franciscan friary there.
Yeah,
an agricultural college.
Nice.
I mean, a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And two pubs in the village, and the same two pubs are still there today.
Still going.
Not changed.
I fancy going. Will you take me for a pint? What, can you remember the name of the pubs?
Yeah, Weir's and Murtha's.
Yeah, so we'll have to go sometime. But I mean, if it's still. I mean, as for me, the concept of it's all kind of strange. It's still that basically there was a big like manor house, and when you say it's like a country estate manor house that was there, that they knocked down completely, or is it still?
No, that was knocked. It was complete. I never seen that was all knocked down.
That was all knocked down when you got there.
Yeah.
And basically, the land that was in, they said we're going to make seven farms.
They made seven farms out of the land.
And when we say they, presume it's like the government.
It was a land commission.
Yes,
it was land commissioner.
So they must have. I suppose. I mean, I don't know. You're just kind of surmising and guessing.
It was they were moving people from the west of Ireland that had bad land.
Yeah.
It wasn't good farming land.
Yeah.
To people that was willing to farm better land in the Midlands.
Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense because it's all rocky ground, yeah. Isn't it? out in the west.
Galway, yeah.
You'd have better land really for farming up towards the Midlands, isn't it?
Far better, yeah.
Yeah. Good idea. Well done, Irish governments. Yes. And it worked out well for you because, I mean, for you, for you guys, it was the first time you'd had electricity and running water and...
Yeah, televisions and... yeah. I can remember the first programme I'd ever seen on the television was Western, The High Chaparral.
Oh, yeah.
I can always remember that. That's the first thing I ever saw on television.
Yeah? What was that like for you then?
That's why I still have an inkling to watch Westerns all the time.
The old Westerns, yeah.
They're my favourite movies.
But black and white back then, was it?
Black and white.
Oh, that shock of change of life there is. I suppose did you take it in your stride really as a kid? You'd be like eight, nine years old.
You take things in your stride a lot better, don't you? When you don't, it was a big change for us. Like it was a brand new house as well.
Yeah.
Running water. We had everything.
Yeah.
Proper range for cooking on. Don't you know what I mean?
Yeah. So did you go to? But you, I suppose the town itself was quite a small town. What's it called again? Sort of small place.
Multifarnham.
Multifarnham was quite a small place, so you'd go to school.
We went to school in Multifarnham, yeah, the underage school, and then later on we went to college in Mullingar.
So Mullingar was about
seven miles away.
But you'd have a bus. You didn't have to walk here.
Didn't have to walk there. No.
That's good. So, we better play a song, haven't we? We've been rabbiting away there for a bit. I think the next one we're going to play is The Reason I Left Mullingar by The Furies and Davy Arthur, yeah. Any reason you picked this? Obviously, it's Mullingar.
It's Mullingar, yeah.
That's reason enough. So, we play the next one then, which is The Reason I Left Mullingar, The Furies and Davy Arthur.
I walk through this city a stranger in a land I can never call home. I cast the sad notion across me in my search of my fortune to roam. I'm weary of working and drinking on a week's wages left in the bar. And God, it's a shame for to use a friend's name just to beg for the price of a jar. I remember that bright April morning when I left home to travel afar. But to work till you're dead for one room and a bed, it's not the reason I left Mullingar. Ah, this London's a city of heartbreak. On a Friday there's friends by the score. Ah, but when the pay's finished on Monday, a friend's not a friend anymore. For a working day seems never ending. From a shovel and pick there's no break. And when you're not working you're spending a fortune you left home to make. I remember that bright April morning when I left home to travel afar. To work till you're dead for one room and a bed, it's not the reason I left Mullingar. And for every man here that finds fortune and comes home to tell of the tale, each morning the Broadway is crowded with many the thousands who fail. So young men of Ireland, take warning. In London you never will find the gold at the end of the rainbow, for you might just have left it behind. I remember that bright April morning when I left home to travel afar. But to work till you're dead for one room and a bed, it's not the reason I left Mullingar.
The reason I left Mullingar, I'd never heard that song. Thanks, Tom. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely song.
It's a really nice song. That was the Furies and Davy Arthur version. Yeah, lovely. Thank you.
No problem.
So we're going back to your life. You've just arrived in, I keep getting that
Multifarnham.
Name. Multifarnham. In near Mullingar, which the song was about. And so just tell us a bit about life there. And you had your brothers and sisters, and tell us about family. And
I had five brothers and four sisters.
Yeah.
And one of my sisters lives in Texas, but back in the day she was a nurse, and she was one of the nurses at the very first heart transplant at Papworth,
right,
down in London.
Wow.
And then after that she went nursing in Johannesburg.
Yeah. So was that in the 70s, that one? Around then?
They were in the 80s, I think.
It was
80s,
the 80s,
yeah.
The first heart transplant.
And she met a Texan out in Johannesburg. That's how she's ended up in Corpus Christi now. And she runs a hospital out there now.
In Texas, yeah?
In Corpus Christi in Texas,
Right,
she's been running that hospital for about 25 years.
She's
in charge of that hospital now.
Fantastic, yeah.
And she had three kids, and they're all two lads and a girl. The two lads were in the Navy SEALs in the American Army.
Yeah.
And her girl were in the Air Corps, but now she's flying planes in Alaska.
Okay.
Her daughter. She's not a bush pilot, but the mice out in the ice in Alaska. She flies a plane out there.
Wow, well, that's interesting life, yeah. Isn't it? Fancy going to see them. Have you been to Texas? Or?
I've been once, yeah.
Yeah? Good?
Good, yeah. Lovely place. Big, large.
That's all I've heard. Yeah.
And I've got a brother that was in New York for quite a long time. He's back in Ireland now. And then I had a brother, Porky, were 19when he got killed in a motorbike in 1981.
Oh, dear.
That were a shock. And my dad died in 1990.
Yeah.
And he was actually buried on my birthday.
Oh, right.
Then I had another brother, Brendan. He were 52 when he died of a brain hemorrhage in Leeds in 2011.
Wow.
And my youngest brother, Alan, he died in a hotel room in Sheffield in 2019.
So you've had a lot of tragedy in your family, is it?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And your mum's still alive, isn't she?
My mum's still alive, but the hardest thing for me was I had to tell me for my mother each time.
Oh.
And it was hard.
Yeah. But I mean, particularly hard, well, for you and the whole family, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And how did your mum react, I suppose? Every time,
yeah.
Devastating. Yeah.
But my mum's still fine, but she's got Alzheimer's now. She doesn't know anybody. But she's healthy, but she doesn't know any of us anymore.
Oh. Where is she?
She's still in Multifarnham. My sisters and my brother look after her now.
Is it still a farmhouse?
Still the farm, yeah, but the farm's let at the moment.
Right.
It's somebody else's look at is
he's running the farm.
Running the farm, now, yeah. We've leased it out to somebody else.
But there's a house that your mum.
Well, the house is still there, yes. My mother's still living in it.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my sisters built a house next door. She is only like 100 yards away from my mother. She looks after her.
That's good, isn't it, to have that, yeah. So your next song is, you're saying it's a recommendation from one of your sisters. So we've got this
beautiful affair.
Which sister's recommended this?
That's Joan. Joan plays music, and she used to play in a band in New York years ago as well. Now she's a psychiatrist.
Okay, and where's Joan?
She's in Mullingar.
In Mullingar as well. Okay then, so we'll play this, well, for all of us, but Beautiful Affair, Stockton's Wing.
See how the doors swing open, your life's unfolding before your very eyes. Such a strange affair. Walking around, be part of the sound, forget.
When you feel like laying low and the mountains seem no closer than before, and you wonder why, you know in your mind it doesn't know what to hide, and the only way is living to survive. Makes you feel alive.
Stand on the door, swing open, your life's unfolded before your very eyes.
Such a strange affair.
Walking around, come into the sound, forget you're down.
Waiting for your eyes, showing no surprise. Make your way down to the shore, you climb aboard, give yourself a smile. Makes you feel alive.
Lay on the door, swing open, your life's unfolding before your very eyes.
Such a strange affair.
Walking around, come into the sound, forget you're down.
There we go, Beautiful Affair by Stockton's Wing. That's a nice song. I've never heard that one before. It's nice to hear new songs. And that was your sister Joan.
Joan recommended that song.
Well done, Joan. Thank you, Joan. Well done. So we're here on Deserted Island Disc. So every Wednesday we're here live in Sheffield, and we talk to people from the Irish community that now live in Sheffield. So it's people who are born in Ireland, and now living here, and we talk through their journey and their life, usually from Ireland to Sheffield. But I was saying, Tommy, he's got so much to talk about that we're just going to do the Ireland bit. We're nearly halfway through, and he's not even a teenager yet. So we're gonna do a two-parter with Tommy and talk about his life in Sheffield next time. So back to you, Tommy. How are you feeling?
I'm okay.
Yes, not nervous.
Nervous at all.
Good, good.
Just wondering what I'm going to say next.
Well, that's the best. Just let it flow. So we're talking about, we've got as far pretty much as your teenage years. So you had a lower school still when you're in Mullingar or the local school. But then you'd go up to the high school in Mullingar. You get the bus.
You get the bus, yeah. And I was in the college football team that won the All-Ireland final. We played in Croke Park.
Wow.
And I think we won it two or three years in a row, actually, that college final. We were unbeaten for about 3 years, I think.
Fantastic.
And while I was going to college, during the summer holidays, I used to work in the agricultural college in Multifarnham get pocket money there, and I saved enough money up to buy a Capri. That were my first car.
Yeah.
And about 3 months after I'd bought it, my mother and my sister were cleaning it out for me.
Oh yeah.
And she found a big pair of red bloomers under the back seat.
She did what?
She found, and I can still I didn't know they were in the car. I had no idea. Anyway, I can still see her face today. The look, she didn't say nothing. The look said it all, and I can still see that look on her face today. That's true.
Yeah. So how did they get there, Tommy?
No idea. I wish I knew.
So you were saying it was the previous owner?
Previous owner, yeah.
In the car,
no proper. Idea. No
I believe
idea.
You, Tommy. I believe you. Yes.
That was just one.
Yes. But you skipped over. I mean, that's quite huge, the football thing, though. So you'd play every week?
I used to play for the college, and then I played for a local team as well. We won the Under-21 football championship with the village next door. I never played for my village. I played for the village next door called Bunbrusna.
Okay, why?
Because a lot of the lads in that team were in the college team.
So we were far
about the team, and we won a lot of tournaments.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a right good footballer when I was young.
Yeah, what position were you?
Our full back or centre half.
Right, so yeah, it's.
I used to make good footballers look bad. That was my job.
Yeah, you were a stopper.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rough old game, isn't it? Was it a few scuffles?
Oh, there used to be a few scuffles now and again, yeah.
Well,
but that was just normal. It makes a better spectacle, doesn't it? Nobody rolling around like soccer players.
That's it. Well, they're still pretty good at that, aren't they, to get at footballers, yeah, are not doing the rolling round. But, I mean, that's a big thing, though. So in the whole of Ireland, basically. And what age were you then, you'd say?
16, 17, when I was playing all...
Yeah.
I played under-21 for Westmeath before I played under-18.
Yeah.
I used to play for the county as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's a massive thing. I mean, but for... I mean, I'm from Mayo and kind of followed the Mayo team, but... Westmeath, they're not that great at winning the championships, are they?
No, no, I'm saying the county championships.
Yeah, not the All-Irelands.
Not
the All-Irelands, yeah.
Within the county itself.
Yeah.
We won that quite a few times.
Yeah, oh, fantastic. I mean, and to play at Croke Park, I mean, Ben, that was an experience.
Yeah, I played there three times.
Wow. I mean, that's a massive stadium.
Yeah, it was.
It's like Wembley Stadium.
It's equivalent to Wembley here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, massive achievement. And, I mean, I suppose going back to your teenage life and stuff, you're still on the farm quite a lot, and you were telling me about you'd castrate sheep and...
Oh, lambs, and sheep and cattle and dehorn cattle and all that, yeah. When the calves were born, you got... when they were a couple of weeks old, you had electric iron to dehorn them. It was a very humane way of doing it.
Right.
Rather than letting them grow for 2 years and then doing it... Another way.
Yeah, all right. So you basically, you didn't want them to have the horn, so you had to sort that out yourselves and do all that. So you wouldn't have you wouldn't have the vet round?
No, 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 no. It was never seen a vet.
Yeah, so it's all to do yourself, yeah. It's great, yeah. Fantastic times there, yeah. So we'll play another song, guys. We'll go back to, we're going to do the Joe Dolan one, Make Me an Ireland, I think. So... So tell us a bit, well, you can do us a few, well, tell us about Joe and your experiences of him.
Well, Joe Dolan was from Bullingar as well, and one of the things I can remember about him most was he brought my brother out from Bullingar one night for midnight mass, and they were both steaming, drunk, and Joe Dolan drove him out from Bullingar for midnight mass.
On Christmas Eve, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, because Joe Dolan was massive in Ireland, wasn't he?
But he was.
He didn't really kind of make it in England.
He was brilliant. I've seen him dozens of times in Ireland.
Yeah, it's because he played in the bars in and
he played. He played in the county hall in Mullingar. He played everywhere. Yeah, and he always dressed. He always had a white suit on and a red tie. He always had white suits on.
Yeah. So well, I mean, because. I've been doing this show now for about 6 months, and quite a lot of the people I've had on have picked Joe Dolan, and I didn't really know much about him now, but he was obviously
a big star
in Ireland.
Yeah, there's a big statue of him in Mullingar now as well.
Yeah.
Dolan's bar is still in Mullingar.
So is it that...
I think that was his brother's, I think, now.
Yeah, so the Dolan's there, yeah. Again, I'll have to go. I like to go to Dolan's bar. Right, let's play Make Me an Ireland by Joe Dolan.
Different eyes, different size, different girls every day, different names, different shifting ground. That's the life I've seen, but I'm tired, uninspired, and I've wiped my slate clean. You are mine, I am yours. If the Lord will allow, you have caught me, you have taught me, and I'm different now. Take me and break me and close all your windows and doors. Shut me up, cut me up, make me an island, I'm yours. Take me away from the world, from the girls. Take me and break me and make me an island, I'm yours. Take me and break me and close all your windows and doors. Shut me up, cut me up, make me an island, I'm yours. Take me away from the world, the girls. Take me and break me and make me an island, I'm yours. Take me and break me and make me an island, I'm yours. Take me and break me and make me an island, I'm yours.
Take me and break me. There we go. That's Make Me an Island, Joe Dolan. As I said, that was his only top 10 hit in the UK, but he was saying he was massive in Ireland, had loads and loads of hits, didn't he? And plenty of, and he was big in America.
Big
as well,
in America,
but yeah, he's never quite made it in the UK. But would you meet him in the pubs and that as well?
Oh yeah, he used to drink in the pubs at Mullingar. Yeah, everybody knew him.
Yeah,
I mean, my brother used to work in a bar in Mullingar. Many times he brought him out to the, took him home at night.
Yeah, he had to, get him home. Did he? Yeah, so, I mean, it's all country roads there, isn't it?
And yeah. There was no breathalyzer back then or anything like that.
I believe so, yes.
Cars knew their own way home.
Yeah, or the ditches. Yeah. All right, so back to you. So we're kind of coming to... I suppose towards the end of your time in Ireland, but you were still kind of, I mean, what was it like when you first had a bit of freedom, or like you could go to the pub for the first time, or and that I suppose you find your own music and stuff. So I'm thinking about your times when you're like 16, 17, 18.
There was always local people, ceilidh bands, accordions and guitars in the pubs every weekend, banjos and. It was like old-fashioned ceilidhs in the pubs all the time. In all the pubs, they're not just one or two. And people singing and all that, yeah.
Is that in Mullingar and...
Everywhere.
So you'd have your local pubs in your...
And if there was a football match on a Sunday afternoon, when you'd come out from... You'd go to church first, and then they'd probably go to the pub and have half a dozen pints before the football match.
Yeah.
And the guy that was in goals was always... An old guy that were finished, he'd be a farmer, he'd have a big pair of wellies on or something, the goalkeeper. He'd be 50 or 60 years of age.
Yeah.
And if you were near him, he'd knock your head off. He'd have maybe... Everybody used to go to the pub before and have five or six pints before they played a match back then.
Before the match?
Before the match, yeah.
Yeah, well. Because, I mean, it's... Did they have the opening hours are still like... Was it used to have like 3 o'clock closing the pubs on a Sunday and stuff out there?
Oh, they were open all.
They opened when the
mass used to be at 11 o'clock, and the pub were right across the road. You just had to walk across to the pub, and when you come out from mass, the pub were open.
Yeah, so straight in.
Straight in and
a few pints, and then have a game of football.
Get oiled up, lubricated before the match. Yeah.
And when the match finished,
back in the pub again.
Yeah. But then you're still working on the farm at this point, helping out,
yeah, and. We used to have to go to the bog every year as well to cut turf.
Cut turf, yeah.
And then we used to take it home. That were a back-breaking job, that.
I believe so,
turning
yeah.
turf and stacking it and taking it out and doing everything with it. Yeah. But it's the main source of heat over there for the fuel in Ireland. Because the biggest bog in Ireland is Bordnamona, which is only like a mile from where we live.
Yeah.
And the second biggest lake in Ireland is only like 5 minutes walk from our house as well.
Yeah.
Loch Derravarra. And there was a tale about them three swans that lived on there. They were called the Children of Lir, and they're supposed to have lived on that lake for 900 years.
Right.
So there's all sort of statues and memorabilia down at the lake about all that. It's a focal point, you know. Tourists come and they talk about it.
Yeah, it sounds good. I've never been to that.
It's called the Children of Lir, they were called. There were three swans. There were three children that were turned into swans.
Right, yeah.
And they're supposed to have lived on that lake for 900 years.
So, I mean, Ireland's full of these legends, aren't they, and stories and things. It's lovely, isn't it? It's lovely things. Whether it's true or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just a great story, isn't it? We don't want the truth getting in the way of a good story, do we, sorry? So, quickly running out of time, but we've got a couple of songs left and time for a bit more chat. So, should we do Moonlight in Mayo next, Tommy?
Yeah.
Is this for your mum, you say?
Yeah, my mother was from Mayo.
Which part of Mayo do you really?
It was 10 minutes walk from Blindwell. There was a little stream and one side was Mayo and one side was Galway.
That's it, yeah, so it is kind of the Galway border.
It was right on the border, yeah.
So yeah, South Mayo. So we've picked Moonlight in Mayo, and we're doing the Paddy Riley version for Tommy's mother, what's she called?
Nora.
Nora, who's still alive there, living in
Montefarnham.
It's just a year ago today I left old Erin's Isle. My heart was throbbing in the soft light of my Colleen's smile. In all my dreams I seem sweet voice, soft and low. I know she's waiting where we said goodbye in old Mayo. For to Irish eyes are shining, and an Irish heart is pining. When I kissed her and caressed her in the gloaming long ago, loving Irish arms will press me, and through Irish love caress me, and sweet Irish lips bless me when it's moonlight in Mayo. Her Irish eyes like beacons shine all through the darkest night. I know their sweet love beams will always fill the world with light. The roses of her cheeks will lend enchantment to the scene. And when the shamrocks were the dew, I'll wed my sweet Colleen. For two Irish eyes are shining, and an Irish heart is pining. When I kissed her and caressed her in the gloaming long, loving Irish arms will press me, and through Irish love caress me, and sweet Irish lips bless me when it's moonlight in Mayo and sweet Irish lips will bless me when it's moonlight in Mayo.
Oh, that's Moonlight in Mayo. Beautiful song. Thanks for picking that one. It's nice, that song. Yeah, my family's from Mayo, so I'll play it for this my family as well as yours there. Thanks, Tommy. Lovely song. You were saying that you kind of play guitar a bit yourself, or try
well,
to?
I try to, but listen to these old songs. I think I'll pick it up again and have another go.
God, you're inspired. That's because what you're saying, because
I had some lessons and I could play in a fashion years ago. I just wanted to go back and... Because my sister is a good singer and she plays guitar, I just wanted to go home on holiday and surprise them all
and
play a few tunes in the local pub.
That'd be nice.
That was my aim, but it's gone by the wayside.
Oh,
the
we can help you with that. We can help you with that, Tommy. It's, we play guitar. Occasionally I play guitar in the Grapes on Triplet Lane, and they're a lovely, friendly bunch of people there, particularly on a Monday night, but any night of the week you'll... find people in there playing music, and we'll help you along and get you out in the pub.
Well, it's a good pastime, isn't it? It's beautiful singers in there, isn't there?
It is, yeah. It's great to see, and a good crack. Everyone's
good
lovely
crack,
and
yeah.
friendly, and it's
a
lovely community environment in there. So, yeah, we'll have to get you out when you're ready. To what would be your first song? Do you think you'd pick?
Probably. Dublin or song, maybe Green Fields of France. I love that song.
Green Fields of France is a good one.
I like that song.
It's quite a long one, but
it is long. Yeah,
it is a great song.
John Denver song.
Yeah, plenty there. So, we've got this is going to be part two.
Sheffield United song, John Denver.
Oh, yeah, Annie's song. That one. Yeah, I get you. So you've part two. We'll get you playing live here in the studio.
Hopefully,
that'd be good. So, yeah, we're running out of time. We're going to do one more song, but we've got a chance to just, to, I suppose, kind of summing up and just kind of let's get the journey to England teed up. So, you know, you came to England quite young. You were like 19, 20?
19, yeah.
Why did you do that?
Well, I come for a holiday. I got a job the week after and I'm still here.
So you bet was it not planned? So what was the holiday?
I come to see my brother here. My brother Sean were here before me, and I come over to see him. So I come over, I think, on a Friday, and I was working on a Monday.
Working in oh, right,
in
so you
Sheffield.
Turned up on Friday and said, for a bit of holiday, and someone said, do you want a job?
Yeah.
And what was the job, the first one?
It was in the construction industry. And then after about a year, I worked in Sherlow's factory at Winkerbank, making crankshafts on a lathe.
Right, so you're in there.
And then I was there for about a year, and then I did a year industrial painting.
Right.
Pylons and all staunches and coal pits and everything like that.
So we're going to do this part two, Tommy. Don't get too much into Sheffield life yet.
Yeah,
we're just one of the things that's big highlight, just for people to know, is that how long were you a landlord at the Star and Garter?
Well, me and Jenny were there for 9 years.
So and that was in the 90s, was it?
90s, early 90s.
Early
yeah.
90s. So
to after 2000, about 2002, I think.
Yeah, and there was some wild times in there I've heard about.
Some good times.
You'll have
to
tune in for part two and hear about the times and the lock-ins and the musicians that would go there when there was nowhere else to go. Is that right? That'd be a great part two. So. We're just gonna have to end with your last song, which is the Wild Colonial Boy, which is again. Go on, tell us why you picked this one.
This is the song my mother always sang. She doesn't drink it. She might have one or two drinks, and then she'd sing that song. She'd only have maybe one or two glasses of whatever,
and then that'd get it going.
She'd sing that song, and then that'd be it.
Okay. So, thanks a lot, Tommy. It's been wonderful. So we'll hopefully see you back soon. So, The Wild Colonial Boy by the Clancy Brothers.
Thank you, Ben.
There was a wild colonial boy, Jack Duggan was his name. He was born and raised in Ireland in a place
his father's only son, his mother's pride and joy. And dearly did his parents love the wild colonial boy.
At the early age of 16 years, he left his native home and to Australia's sunny shore he was inclined to roam. He robbed the rich, he helped the poor, he shot James McAvoy.
And terror to Australia was the wild colonial boy.
One morning on the prairie, as Jackie rode along, a-listening to the mockingbird, a-singing a cheerful song, up stepped a band of troopers, Kelly, Davis and Fitzroy.
They all set out to capture him, the wild colonial boy.
Surrender now, Jack Duggan, for you see we're 3-1. Surrender in the king's high name, you are a plundering son. Jack Rude took pistols from his belt, he proudly waved them high.
I'll fight, but not surrender, said the wild colonial boy. He fired a shot at Kelly, which brought him to the ground. And turning round to Davis, he received a fatal wound. A bullet pierced his proud young heart from the pistol of Fitzroy. And that was how they captured him, the wild colonial boy.
That's the Wild Colonial Boy, and it's been the last choice of Tommy Tierney, who's been a wonderful guest with me tonight. So we'll see you all next week. We'll have another guest, and everyone, have a great night.